This radio program is PG-13. Parents strongly caution some material may be inappropriate for children under the age of 13. Send me free. Jesus' mission was to comfort those who mourn, bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to captives, and open prison doors for those who are bound. For those who want more than status quo Christianity has to offer, Blazing Grace Radio begins now. And here is your host, Mike Janung.
Hey, Mike Janung here. Welcome back to Blazing Grace Radio. Thank you for joining us. And I'm going to begin with talking about Brandon Lake a little bit. He is the well-known Christian recording artist. I like some of his songs. I have some of his songs on my playlist. And the Christian Post this week just published an article that I'm going to read from. And so I'll start off there. It says, establishing a hypothetical character named Bubba, Brandon Lake said worship songs should be concerned with not alienating such individuals. And Bubba is the type of person who has been dragged to church unwillingly, meaning he's not a believer. So right off the bat, he's saying our concern should be not offending an unbeliever. And then he writes, the quote is of what Brandon says, I'd love to see more worship sets. More churches keep Bubba in mind. We call him Bubba, the guy who's in the back of the room, and he got dragged there by his wife. So unbelieving Bubba got dragged in by his wife. Hopefully she's a believer too. And I just don't know if when your opening song or the most of your songs have so much Christian ease, I think he has a hard time accepting that and thinking, can I sing that? Like, I'm not there yet. Brandon Lake offered his own hit worship song, Hard Fought Hallelujah, as a more approachable option for Bubba the unbeliever to worship God compared to some historical hymns. Lake suggested the only context a figure such as Bubba might have the word for the word holy is in reference to profanity. I think Bubba hears a hard fought hallelujah. And I'm not saying hard fought is the answer, but I love when your first song is like, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. I think he's going to be like, what does holy mean? Like, holy crap? What? I don't know. This is Brandon Lake speaking. Lake suggested songs such as his could bridge the gap and eventually help Bubba-like figures who are unbelievers to sing songs with more theological depth. Obviously, that's where we want to get to in a worship set. It's just every eye is fixated on him, right? And it's just like everyone, it's like vertical, but like give Bubba some language. He can be like, all right, I find myself in that song. I feel like that. And hopefully that's what some of my music can continue to do. So let's contrast what Lake said about not wanting people to feel uncomfortable in church and with terms like holiness with just a few passages from Scripture. So this first one is from Acts 2:22. This is a piece from Peter's first sermon right after they got anointed in Pentecost, where Peter said, Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man tested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death because it was not possible for him to be held by it. That's Acts 2:22-24. And then down to verse 36, he quotes scriptures in the Psalms, and he says, let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. He is punching it. He is not holding back to those who don't know Christ. And then let's look at the Apostle Paul. What was his approach with an unbeliever? He's talking to Felix. And after some, this is Acts 24, verse 24. After some days, Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, and he sent for Paul and heard him speak about faith in Christ Jesus. And as he reasoned about righteousness and self-control and the coming judgment, Felix was alarmed and said, "Go away for the present. Why get an opportunity? I will summon you." This is the Apostle Paul. He's the coming judgment. He's talking about where we're gonna be told we either end up in heaven or hell. How does this contrast with what we just heard what Brandon Lake said? It's just the two are far apart. And what we're doing is we're stealing God's glory when we care more about what man thinks or what man says or how man might be offended. We're weak when we have this output. We got our attention span is all screwed up. We're more worried about offending those who really probably don't have much want for God at that point. Because if God's moving them, drawing them, speaking to them, the sharp, the cutting words will get to their heart, will pierce them and bring them to Christ. As we just saw in those words, after Peter's first sermon, 3,000 came to Christ, and they did not hear one single word about the love of God or the grace of God. Peter just punched it. You crucified Christ with your sins, and this is what's brought us all here, our great need for God. So today I have with me in the broadcast Rebecca Janung. She is my 23-year-old daughter. She has worked for me and been traveling with me since 2016. And so I think it's good to have the voices of youth. So it's not just always the adults in the room. So, Rebecca, welcome back to the program.
Good to be here.
So when you hear all this, what goes through your mind?
I think it's all confusing when you start trying to involve everybody, everyone's feelings, every little thing, because you can't, you personally cannot do that. But thankfully, there is a God who can, and he can speak to everybody. So if you're going to church, you can't focus on, what if we don't get to this person? What if we don't get to that person? It's not you that's going to be doing it. You have to leave that up to God. And so I think it's kind of downplaying the power that he has. It's saying, like, I need to try to work around all of this to get to this one person or this person, but then you can get lost doing that. It's all confusing, and you also can't go off of your feelings because feelings change all the time. Mm-hmm. So it's all just confusing when you start doing that. But if you keep it based on the Bible, which doesn't change, you can't really go wrong with that.
And then what do you do with the contrast between Peter's first message, where he really punched it hard, versus what Brandon Lake is saying here?
I liked what you said. We're weak. You can't do that nowadays. Say something black and white, as clear as that, because you will get, as they say, canceled. Cancel culture is a big thing, and it's wrecking a lot of people and a lot of churches, because you can't say the truth anymore. It's all, you have to focus on your truth and trying to worry about other people's truths, and you can't say something that's against their truth. So what is truth then? Mm. 8 billion people can't have their own truth. That doesn't make sense.
So you're saying cancel culture has made its way into the church?
I think so. I've seen a lot of videos of pastors trying to play it safe. A lot of, I guess you could say, like, gay pastors too. So I think cancel culture and just that type of worldly things have gone into the church.
So somebody in their early 20s, What are you hungry for when you go to church?
I think a big thing these days is the truth, because you don't know what it is, and also community. I think a lot of, especially if you're a young believer, it could be hard to find a group in church that it has the same beliefs as you, because social media, it just says the exact opposite of what the Bible says, so it can feel isolating in a way.
So when you say you want the truth, do you want all the truth, heaven and hell, sin and grace, all of it?
That would be nice. Yeah, you don't hear that though, so I'm not surprised by how many young people don't. There is a big movement, I will say, I have seen that there are a lot of young people starting to go to church more, which is great, but there is also a lot that are falling away. So it is a hard balance, but I would say so.
Mm. So being coddled and having your comfort zone petted, that's not something that you're really going to church for?
No, it doesn't get you anywhere. It doesn't make you grow or deepen your faith or your relationship. You just stay in one spot.
Well, for me, I want all the truth. I want to know the warnings as much as I want to know the blessings. Mm-hmm. And the warnings can be, do they have those fear the Lord moments? But without those warnings, I don't know what I need to change, or, you know, what my outlook should be, or how I should see God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you're going off of your own thoughts, your own perspective, and that can mislead you.
So I'm going to read from an article here about what youth want, Gen Zs want for a career. When I was growing up, most of the young guys I was hanging around with, we talked about wanting to be cops or firemen or be in the Army, be a Marine, something tough, something that required courage or sacrifice. Those are the type of things growing up that a lot of young men want to do, something that there was an adventure with risk and daring and rescue. And so this is an article from The Economist. I'm reading and quoting, "Ask a young person what they would like to do with their life, and increasingly the answer will be to find fame and fortune online. Fully 57% of Gen Zs in America would like to be a social media influencer. According to Mount Morning Consult, a pollster, 53% describe it as a reputable career choice." So kids want to kind of just make TikTok videos and hang back. And so what is your input on that?
I'm not surprised at all, because there have been, it's first of all kind of easier to do that these days. And if you make it, you can make a lot of money. So I'm not surprised at that at all. And with how much everything costs, it's easier to just film some videos, post it, and get rich. It's easy money. So I'm not surprised at that at all. Even when I was a teenager, I wanted to be a YouTuber. Obviously, I don't want to now, because no. But and other classmates were saying that. So I'm not surprised by that. It's also trendy. It's popular. So.
But from my perspective as the elder, that's not much. That's not something that has a value to society.
No.
Except for maybe just a few that have really something of interest to say. A lot of it is just interesting fluff.
Yeah, and it's hard to be original on social media these days. Everyone's just doing the trends and the same things, so that's why it's hard. It is hard to get that famous, but a lot of people do try. But I understand from that perspective, like, what's the point? But it can make you a lot of money, surprisingly.
Well, what is frightening to me is right now in the environment we're in, there's a lot of talk of bringing manufacturing back to the U.S., but One U.S. Bureau of Labor statistic I saw was that there are 500,000 manufacturing jobs right now in the U.S. that cannot be filled. And there's 7 million young men out there who are not seeking work because they don't want to. They don't want to work. And more youth are just living with mommy and daddy, either not working or not able to because of inflation. And so what is your take on all that?
I think that there is a mix there. Like you said, everything costs so much these days. Rent is through the roof, so some are forced to stay with their parents. And even working two full-time jobs, like my friend, she works two full-time jobs and she cannot live on her own. She works 60 hours a week and she cannot live by herself because it costs so much. But then there is that other side where some don't want to, which makes sense. Why would you want to even try if you can't make it on your own? So there's two sides to that.
Well, let me add a little more to this. So this is from a recent article in the last week from The Telegraph in the United Kingdom. And the title of the article was "How Porn and Gaming Have Sapped Young Men of Their Desire to Work." And quoting, "I am 22 and unemployed," one man writes on the question and answer website Quora. "I am wasting my entire day watching porn and browsing Facebook. What should I do in my free time, which is more productive?" And the answers coming on this page on Quora were do a course, join the military, or learn to code so you can create fun apps for all the other bored 20-somethings out there who are watching porn all day, or try going outside. Another says, "I heard there's stuff to do outside. Supposedly there are people and places outside that you can interact with." And then such complaints are growing increasingly common since COVID. And continuing to read the article, "Britain has been plagued by a worklessness crisis that is dragging down the public finances and creating a headache for ministers. Many believe that mental health is to blame, with easy access to online porn and video games keeping young people stuck indoors. According to the latest figures, more than 900,000 16 to 24-year-olds are not in education, employment, or training, the highest level since a decade ago when the jobs market was still recovering from the financial crisis." And this is in a country of 60 million, so you can multiply that in the U.S. So basically, it's saying that a lot of young men, are just staring at a TV, either watching pornography or video games. That's not good for the character, is it?
No, but it damages everything about yourself, your brain. You need interactions and outside, even though it's gross and hot out in Arizona, in my opinion, it is good to get outside here and there. But that is sad to hear, but it's easy that way. I think a lot of youth are just taking the easy route sometimes, and because it requires a lot more, I think, these days to make a living and actual career than it was 20, 30, 40 years ago.
Mm. Well, the thing I know is when I was growing up, I wanted to work. I didn't want to stay home. I wanted to be out working and doing things, and working gives you a sense of accomplishment and purpose, and you learn, and there's connections with your coworkers, and there's so many benefits from it. It contributes to society. What has happened? I mean, this isn't just about inflation. There's a lot more going. You were there when we tried to hire somebody and they quit the next day because they said, and this was a 24-year-old guy right out of college who said, "We don't know what we're doing," and he just walked out. So something has really happened at the youth level where the work ethic has been, in many cases, destroyed.
I think inflation does play a big part of it, in my opinion, because you can't, like you always tell me, you got 15-cent ice cream scoops back in the 70s and 80s. You can't buy anything for 15 cents these days. So I think it can be very discouraging if you're always on social media and you see all these people who are being successful, who are making it, who have cars, houses, all of this, and you're stuck in your own darkness or whatever it is. So it can be very discouraging, and you can go numb by that and not want anything.
And yet you're making a difference and an impact with your choice in employment. You were talking to a guy who called into our office just today whose marriage is having significant problems. You've been with me on trade shows. You've been with me on the ministry trips, and that are making a big impact. So we don't have to lay back in the weeds and give up, it, just like you are not. You're on the radio right now, right?
Yeah.
So the choices we make, we can either lay back in the weeds and say, "Up, oh, I quit," or we can say, "You know what? No matter what's coming my way, I'm going to make my life count." And I don't think that message is getting through enough, that we cannot just live for today. We have whatever we have by God's grace, 20, 30, 40, 50 years. There is no guarantee. So I don't feel like we're really challenged enough in the Christian community that, hey, we only have one life to go at here. There's no do-overs. And we must not waste our life, and we must invest it in things that count for eternity. And I don't see the challenge a lot with this, and the recognition that you can't waste your life, and you are not wasting your life. You are making a difference.
Thank you. The only challenge I see in church is donate, volunteer in small groups. Mm. That's the only challenges I see. Unfortunately, they're all good. You need that in your life to be doing those things. But like you said, how does that make me count for eternity? What does that do?
Well, and if you realize Jesus gave everything, how can we just lay back and say, oh, well, we're going to put up the white flag and hang back, adult or youth, and then back to step in eternity and say, hear God say, well done, good and faithful servant. Yeah, life is hard. It's very hard. Suffering is guaranteed. And the Christian life is hard, but we dare not say, okay, be like the guy in the parable of talents, the one guy who had the one talent and buried it in the ground. Mm. Do you remember what God said to that one guy?
I can't remember word for word, but I know the story. Yeah, he was like, you didn't do anything.
Yeah, and the outcome for that guy was not good. It was going to that weeping and gnashing of teeth place.
Right.
So, this is from a Pew Research poll. 50% of Christians see no problem with sex outside of marriage. And half of U.S. Christians say casual sex between consenting adults is sometimes or always acceptable. Half of Christians say casual sex, defined in the survey as sex between consenting adults who are not in a committed romantic relationship, is sometimes or always acceptable. And this was from Pew Research again. So when you hear that half of Christians are like, hey, casual sex is fine outside of marriage, what do you think?
Bull crap. Oh. Where is that in the Bible? I know I grew up very well, and I was taught what's right and wrong, and I'm grateful for that. But it totally goes against what God says. One man, one woman with marriage. Mm. There's no gray area around that. It's, it says that. So I know we all are not perfect and we all sin, but you can't go around professing that it's okay. That's not okay. That's not the truth.
Well, I think a part of it is probably because we're just not talking about sex in church, period, or pornography, and saying, hey, this is what God's, and this is bringing us back to the very beginning of this show, holiness. Mm-hmm. Holiness is a big deal to God. So, Becca, 20 seconds, anything you want to say?
Bring back truth in the church. There's only one word, and we can't just keep going around. We have to live each day like it's our last.
All right. Thank you for joining us, my friends. And we'll continue this conversation with Rebecca next week. Do you want to be free?
Blazing Grace is a nonprofit international ministry for the sexually broken and the spouse. Please visit us at blazinggrace.org for information on Mike Janung's books, groups, counseling, or to have Mike speak at your organization. You can email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call our office in Chandler, Arizona at 719-888-5144. Again, visit us at blazinggrace.org. Email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call the office at 719-888-5144.
This program was sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.